Welcome to the latest Pinnacle Forum podcast on stewarding the influence that God has given you. This is a series of conversations with leaders who happen to be Christians. Many are fellow partners and are also currently involved in one of our forums. As leaders in our fields, we gain influence. We may think that our influence came because of our intellect, our looks, our luck, our personality, and it's for our own use. The reality is that God grants this for us to use in the advancement of His kingdom. These are the stories of people who are learning how to use that God-given influence in service to others and ultimately to God. We trust these will encourage you as you steward your own God-given influence. Now on to our discussion. My guests today are Mark Griffin and Kevin McGarry, two guys that I met and had the privilege of introducing to Pinnacle Forum, and you're going to be amazed at their story and then the mutual story that they've got of the how they're working together. Welcome, guys. Kevin, why don't we start with you? Why don't you give us your life story in just a minute or two and bring us up to when you started in Pinnacle Forum?
Oh, awesome. It's a pleasure to be here, Chuck. Thank you for providing the opportunity. My life story begins in San Francisco. I was born and raised in the Hunters Point Projects in San Francisco in the 1960s. Was a boy from the hood, a crazy hoodlum type growing up. But my dad always came home, so I got good grades because mom told me, look, if you don't get good grades, your alcoholic dad, I'm going to sick him on you. And so I always got good grades. And so I went to San Jose State after I graduated high school. Degree in sociology, and then got married, got serious about the Lord, and have now been married 36 years, two children, and just wonderfully blessed. Started an organization called Every Black Life Matters. We're the righteous, faithful, and moral alternative to BLM, Black Lives. And so we go around the country, we help people understand and reconcile with what's happening right now in culture, ever demonic culture, dare I say. And so we provide services, anti-CRT trainings, workshops, racial unity training and certification, DEI training and certification, those types of things as well now.
And you've written a couple of books.
Written six books, actually. And so my most recent was Woked Up, which was written last year. Woked Up, W-O-K-E-D. And it was the subtitle was Finally Putting an Axe to the Taproot of White Supremacy and Racism in America. So really going after the woke narrative and really confirming that anybody that would identify as being woke are actually literally the ones in full embrace of white supremacy and racism. It's unbelievable. And then more recent, just a week or two ago, finished and published the book DEI in 3D. And basically taking a 3D look, three-dimensional look at DEI, providing in-depth perspective so people understand. DEI is all-consuming, it's globally engrossing, and it is inescapable. So people need to understand what it is and how to combat it if indeed they want to, but they need to at least understand what it is and what it means.
So for the record, I have read Woked Up. And I've recommended it to a lot of people. I don't know if that's resulted in a lot of sales, but at least it resulted in one.
Oh, man, thank you.
Yeah, that's a good book. I highly recommend it.
Awesome.
So, Mark, tell us the Mark Griffin story.
Sure. I'm Mark Griffin. I really didn't have a remarkable childhood. I grew up in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and I was blessed to have a mother and a father raising me. You know, at the time, I took it for granted that I had a dad around, right? That's just, you know, I was born into a family that blessed me with a mother and a father. So I did a lot of activities when I was a kid. I loved the Boy Scouts. I loved the camaraderie of the guys and the men, you know, being outdoors, those types of things. Really just had a great childhood. Married my high school sweetheart really young. We just came out of college about a year, and we decided we wanted to do the right thing and get married. And at the time, we were practicing Catholics. My wife and I became born again about 15 years ago. That's a very long story. But my wife and I have been blessed to have been married 37 years. We have two adult children, almost five grandchildren. Our fifth grandchild is coming this Thanksgiving. So my wife does radiation oncology. God's really has her in a great position to minister and help people. But I run a human resources consulting company in his name, HR, that was birthed about 13 years ago right here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Specifically, when we launched, it was to help for-profit Christian-owned businesses. Kind of a niche-y thing to go after. But Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, we have a lot of kingdom-minded organizations, family-owned Christian businesses. The Hahn family from Conestoga Wood, they're here in Lancaster. That might ring a bell with the Green family at Hobby Lobby that's in Oklahoma. Those folks help support Christian initiatives when it comes to legislation. So, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But as our firm grew, we also folded in Christian colleges, Bible colleges, camps, ministries. I guess we're here to talk about our relationship, and the way in which I met Kevin is like it's an inescapable DEI. And that's really what came up is DEI surfaced up a couple months ago. I needed to do something with it. And I was blessed to have Kevin in my group, in my Pinnacle group, and he helped formulate the strategy on which we're doing DEI with our clients.
So DEI is?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion training. And it's something that goes back really far, Chuck. Even back in the 90s, Mark Griffin, as a younger guy in his 20s, was doing DEI training like at Quaker Oats organization. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. But the DEI training that we had in the 90s wasn't the same training that they're conducting now. The training's been changed. It's been kind of, in my opinion, hijacked. An agenda's taken it over. And they've kind of formulated and changed the formula within DEI. And that's really what we're trying to change is DEI can be a good thing. It is biblical. We are to celebrate our differences. We're to love each other and our differences. But we have a biblical view of DEI versus the secular view.
So are companies required to have a DEI plan?
That's, I think, important that we talk about today, because that's what made an attorney reach out to me. Companies are being forced into the DEI space. They're being told by government agencies that they're not going to get government contracts. They're being told by granting authorities they're not going to get the grants unless they do DEI training. Without an alternative, which we offer that alternative, they're really stuck getting certified with secular-based DEI training that can be so highly offensive to our Christian brothers and sisters. And that's how we recently met with a client that was forced to do DEI training and couldn't find a suitable solution.
So everything that they found was something that was offensive.
Exactly. And when we say offensive, it's really easy to explain, but a lot of people miss it. And a lot of senior pastors, I've talked to a lot of senior pastors in the last couple months. The real main difference is simple. It's really gender. And it's really sex. So the Bible definitively says male and female. That's God's word. There's nothing in the Bible around gender or multiple types of gender or none of that. What's in the Bible is male and female. So that's really the rub, that there's issues with Christian organizations. They don't want to talk about gender, and nor should they be forced to talk about gender, because at the same time, the EEOC is saying don't talk about sex in the workplace. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. Yeah, do the training, but don't talk about sex in the workplace. But how do you do that if you're not going to talk about all the different categories?
Yeah, let me add to that, too. What I've seen is the E part, the equity, is kind of being used as a cudgel. So we have a lot of really radical, leaning Marxist type people that go around and do these trainings, and they have a chip on their shoulder. The E is being used as part of retribution to get back at whites, so to speak, or our Caucasian brothers and sisters. And so there's that going on, and that's highly offensive when you come into an organization and say, look, all you Caucasian whites, you sitting back and you just sit down and shut up. Okay, all you ethnic, you guys are up here, and let's talk this out. That's ridiculous. How are you going to get a workplace that's unified, respectful, that is dignifying everybody, when you have people taking this kind of training that is so isolating and divisive right up front. And this is what's happening by and large with a lot of these secular organizations. They are bringing in radical type people that have care nothing about unifying the organization or having people really fully appreciate diversity, but more so embrace this notion of equity and use that as a cudgel to get retribution or any type of leveling the playing field with other folks within the organization.
Equality, right?
No, that's not equality.
When everybody has the same opportunity.
Right. That's what he should stand for, is equal opportunity, but it doesn't, reflect that today as it's being in our current paradigm. It's being reflected in a completely different way. The other thing I would say, the equity piece is one of it. And then the other part is the EEOC. The EEOC, Biden's placement in the EEOC as of last week, and she is radical about this. This means small and medium-sized businesses and small and medium-sized churches. EEOC is pervasive, right? I mean, that's any.
Sure.
So any potential organization can be a target now with the EEOC and the amount of radicals. All of the sort of, conservative or moralists are out, and the EEOC now is being run by radicals. It's going to cause all kinds of problems.
Chaos.
Yeah. So some people in churches would say, well, I don't do business with the federal government. It doesn't apply to me. Not so much. You need to understand what this is, because the EEOC now has this, and it's going to be run as a dictate for all businesses. So you need to understand it.
So this is something to be afraid of. So Mark, realizing that you are in the HR business and that companies are coming to you, primarily Christian companies are coming to you for help. Help! I've got to do this DEI training, and everything I found is not fit for consumption. And so you wrote your own DEI from a biblical worldview perspective, right?
Yeah, we absolutely did. We created a training package for DEI that we first start the training. The first 2 hours for leaders is all about religious freedom. We take all the current legislation, the current cases. I mean, last week and the week before, we had incredible, groundbreaking rulings coming out of the Supreme Court that support Christians in business, but many people don't realize that. So in our religious freedom training, we give the baseline of why it's so important to stay principle-based. And you know what, Chuck? This isn't just about Christianity. You turn on the news and that's the first thing, oh, Christians, and the media and all that. This is to help and to bless our brothers and sisters that are Jewish, that are Muslim or Hindu, because they have the same religious freedom as Christians have. But for some reason, the media always seems to, default to the Christians. But there's a case right now, the Yeshua College Seminary up in New York, a Jewish college, they're under attack right now. So they're having issues. In their case, they were being told they were going to be forced to have a club that didn't align with their biblical view, the Torah view. And they said, no, this club isn't going to exist. So the federal government came back and said, no, if you're going to have other clubs, you have to have this club. And they said, you know what? We're not going to have any clubs then. Until we get this sorted out through the legal system, we're going to cancel all clubs. Here's a university. They had to cancel all their clubs because one organization's pushing their agenda that's not applicable to everyone. It's incredible. It's incredible times.
So people that have found your material and are using it could righteously say, when they're asked by whoever's asking, presumably the government,
sure,
are you doing DEI training? Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are. And we certify. We actually give a certification to the participant and to the organization because we can certify that they're DEI trained. And so that's a 2-hour religious liberty. And then we have a 2-hour DEI, highly interactive for all employees, including leadership, where we focus on the strengths, where they enjoy going through the training. They learn the differences based on personalities and the Myers-Briggs. they're not focused on the negativity. They're celebrating their differences as a group. So we're looking at human connectedness and the positive aspects that that brings to organizations instead of all this negative that's being dragged into the training facilities.
So they think that they have hijacked the idea of DEI training and it's all their way. As your company experiences success, how long do you think before somebody reads your material and says, oh, wait a minute, this is not what we were after?
Well, that could happen, but I think the tides are turning. I think Kevin's seeing it as well. Originally, you said to me, well, Christian-owned organizations are reaching out to you. Yeah, they are, but secular non-Christian organizations are reaching out saying, we don't want to train this stuff that we're being told to train. Can you do something to provide training to our staff to enlighten them instead of depressing them?
So what are you seeing, Kevin?
Well, just last week, there was an article that was written, I think it was last Friday or Saturday, just came out and said thousands upon thousands of DEI executives are being outplaced and downsized now. So
really,
Harvard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing a correction in the marketplace. And this is predictable. It's not, oh, wow, where did this come from? If you understand DEI, you understand fundamentally its current paradigm, the current nomenclature and paradigm, you understand that it is fundamentally Marxist. That's what it is, okay? It's built on that. My book, I go through that. I don't make that assertion up front. You arrive there because I go through everything else. But here's the deal. If it's Marxist and you understand anything about Karl Marx, you know that it's completely demonic. You also know that Karl Marx was an abject failure in every single thing that he did. And every philosophy he had is not only demonic and antithetical, but every single philosophy or idea that he had is an abject failure everywhere. And so everywhere socialism has been tried, failed. Everywhere communism has been tried, failed. So if you know that that's the nuts and bolts of DEI, then it's predictable. It's going to be a failure. How are you going to use a Marxist idea that Marx himself was a horrible racist, by the way? How are you going to use racist ideas and failed philosophies to come into an organization and train people about how to get along together and work and unify? It's impossible. It's there's no meshing there. So this type of thing was predictable. And it's going to continue to, we're going to continue to see companies push back on this because if they really fully, embraced it and carried it out to its fullest, the company would collapse because your employees would leave. You'd have lawsuits up the yin yang because a lot of it is illegal by labor law. Current labor laws don't allow you to just place incompetent, unskilled people in highly skilled and competent positions just because of their skin color or their gender preference. I mean, that's highly illegal. So companies are really who have fully embraced this have opened themselves up to lawsuits, labor laws, and then their employee pool, all of their work teams are being destroyed because people are more distrustful. Walking on eggshells, they hate the climate in the organization now. It's not flourishing, it's actually imploding. So that's what we're finding.
So the Supreme Court decided, I think just last week, or maybe the week before that, that affirmative action in colleges is illegal.
Yeah, sure.
I think the Wall Street Journal article about all the thousands of DEI professionals that are being laid off are as a result of, well, now, if the colleges can't do it, maybe we can't do it. Maybe we better knock it off. I read just the other day that a whole bunch of Harvard law professors wrote a letter to our president saying, if, in your opinion, the Supreme Court is making bad decisions, ignore them.
Yeah.
That seems to me just about as close to anarchy or a dictatorship as you. If the court... it's because of the Supreme Court that we've got gay marriage. It's because of the Supreme Court that we've got all these decisions that have come down. And as soon as the tide begins to turn a bit, ignore it. Just ignore it. Just play like that. And they're making a wrong decision. You've got the right to make.
Well, it's like it's no different than the student loan. He knows he doesn't have the authority, but he says he's going to give the money. And then the Supreme Court says no. And he goes back and he does it again. I'm going to give the money. So, I mean, they're out of control, but the blessing is people are seeing the cracks. People are literally seeing the cracks. And they didn't see it before. They had their head in the sand. We're coming out of COVID. They didn't like Trump or whatever. But everybody's starting to see the cracks. And when they see the cracks, that's when people are getting nervous because they're starting to realize, is this agenda going to hurt my pocketbook? Am I going to be able to feed my family in this economy? Am I going to be able to buy food? Am I going to be able to put gas in my car? Can I take a vacation? I mean, this is a real great discussion to have for the three of us, because as I was praying about this, I was thinking about families. I mean, the whole real reason why Kevin and I get along so well and we come up with these great ideas is we both love our families. And the issue at the end of the day in the United States is the breakdown of the family. It goes all the way back to when we turn into a welfare state and African Americans started joining that, and now Caucasians are into it, and we have all these folks on public programs not working, no dignity of work. And I'm not questioning them and I'm not passing judgment. I'm saying we've created a system that allows people not to work, not to prosper, not to take care of families. Now businesses are upset. And hey, churches are upset. We can't find great people to work in our church. We can't find great people to work at our camps. Everybody's having a problem finding people. And it all goes down to that societal breakdown that Kevin and I talked about a couple months ago and came to the conclusion. It really comes down to the family, Chuck.
Well, talk about that. You guys are talking about doing something together. And I know that because I got an email from you describing
sure.
What's up?
Well, one thing that God's put in my purview just recently in the last week or two is there's an organization here in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania called the Marriage Hub, and they're really setting up a national program, almost like an EAP, to help people that are having problems in their marriage. It's almost, they have a division that's like triage, where they send counselors out to help the people before they go into divorce. So I think supporting premarital counseling with churches, helping that's a great opportunity. That's something my wife and I do with our church, is helping to prepare people. But I think giving resources to people and bringing the importance of marriage back to families is going to bode well in the long term.
So, Kevin, you live in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Correct.
And Mark, you live in Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
The chances of the two of you, Kevin, you're African-American, Mark, you're not. The chances of the two of you meeting and being of one mind are just, I mean, it had to be God.
It is God. It is God.
But for Pinnacle and God connecting and all of that, it's, this is a chance, you know, to your point, Chuck, you know, Mark and I would not have known each other and would likely have not ever met each other. But, you know, it's these types of organizations like the one that you're so instrumental in helping to grow and foster strength amongst men, especially in marketplace leaders. It's these types of organizations that bring, groups that have more in common together and allow us then to exchange ideas, begin to know one another, even on opposite coasts, and see that, look, we're all brothers. We're all trying to figure this thing out together. You know, we should be working together if appropriate, and let's figure this thing out. Let's see if we could, you know, really begin to coalesce strategies to help change culture, change the world, change the global environment, whatever it is.
And it's been able to help me learn a lot from Kevin's perspective, because he shocked me with Darwinism. I mean, I see all these people with the bumper sticker and all that, and, you know, oh, Darwin, 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 and they're cheering against themselves, basically. Because if you look at the history of what that's saying, it's not a good thing, not a good thing at all to celebrate Darwinism. But that's something I guarantee you 90% of Americans who's jumping and celebrating this agenda don't understand that they're celebrating something that really goes against people and doesn't help them. So that's been the blessing, working with Kevin and getting to know him and him knowing me, and also making me comfortable in my own skin as well. You know, I'll be honest with you, starting out when they asked me to do DEI, I went, hey, what's a Caucasian guy? What's his worldview? How's he going to be able to make an impact? Kevin's comforted me with that. Other African-American friends that I have comforted me with, hey, Mark, the pain that you've received, maybe no greater or no less than the pain that an African-American's received. We've all received pains in different realms. We've all been criticized. We've all been, you know, focused on or treated with disrespect. So bring that to the table. And that's helped me a lot. But I also know intellectually, I'm not going to experience it at the same level.
Plus, having Kevin on your team will give you some credibility.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that helps as well.
Yeah. Well, you want to tell us any more about this joint work that you're doing that you've announced that you haven't quite got started yet? Where's that headed?
I just would like to, you know, offer to your listeners to be in prayer for Kevin and I, for his firm, for my firm. We have a lot of connections that overlay each other. And I think there's a lot that we can do in this area, but it's really going to be up to God. We don't wake up and create our own agenda. We follow with where the Holy Spirit guides us.
That's right. So if I can add to that, I mean, Mark and I are now connected. We're brothers in the Lord. We love and respect each other. And however the Lord's crafted our work individually and now allowed us to do some things collaboratively, and it's been wonderful. But we're not trying to strategize, try to figure out a way. Let's make this work. Let's do that. No, the Lord's put us together as brothers. Let's just let that foster whatever it fosters. You know, as we continue to collaborate and work together, the Lord will open doors and we'll do stuff together where appropriate. But we're not trying to force anything here. This is a wonderful opportunity for everybody to see how diverse communities, you know, my background, his background are very different, but how we can come together, love one another, trust one another, and just allow the Lord to, however he wants to bridge us together and have us collaborate and work together. It's wonderful.
And I want to say to my Caucasian friends and brothers out there that are listening, reach out. Don't be afraid. And I think that's the biggest issue. And I've talked to some friends. They're just, what's going on with this agenda is so fearful to so many people. They're afraid they're going to say the wrong thing. And they're afraid they're going to offend their African-American friend or somebody that they're just meeting. But that's okay. Have that discussion. And Kevin and I talk about that. I said, look, I'm not perfect. If I say something wrong, help me out, man. Help me out. And he said the same thing. If I say something that offends you, but we have to talk. We all have to talk and we have to love each other. And we have to have these discussions. Not having these discussions and hiding away from it isn't going to make it a better community for us. It's not. We have to have some hard discussions. And that's why I'm so proud of you, Chuck, to bring this on, you know, as a podcast, because it is such a sensitive issue. People get fearful about it, and they shouldn't be. We're human. We love each other, and we're just trying to navigate in a godly way, in a way that, you know, God's going to be satisfied in what we're doing.
Yes.
I think we need to be a little bit proactive, too, in
exactly
countering, yep. Kevin, your book, countering what's going on out there. Did you read about the California School Board that was considering throwing some books out of the curriculum? And California Superintendent of Schools came out to speak in favor of these horrible books. And the president of the school board threw him out of the meeting.
Wow. Yeah.
They had the police come and just literally ushered him out of the meeting. And I'm saying, and Governor Newsom said, well, we'll see about that. Unbelievable. The pressure that school board is going to be under, probably already death threats. Kevin, I bet you've got death threats because what you're saying is not popular in your community.
I really, you know, by God's grace, I haven't been threatened in any way, shape, or form yet. And I've been out there and on a tip of the spear and culture for a few years now. But I found out one thing that a lot of people who are, let's say, the more violent type or threatening types, they look for people that are, you know, slight nature and a little bit older and stuff like that. That stereotype. We have 6'30". And, you know, I used to be a boy in the hood. I used to love to rumble, man. I tell you what. But that's all, you know, different. But I'm not the kind of person that you would typically say, hey, I want that guy. So I haven't been threatened. I haven't been called names. And by God's grace, that's just wonderful. But here's the thing. I do think that everyone who is listening to this podcast needs to understand that we are in very, very much, and it's in our face, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, it's in our face 24/7, 365. We are in a spiritual war, folks. It's a very pronounced and stark spiritual war. Now, we can pretend like, well, there's some good things on the other side, even though we know it's demonic and the, you know, like the culture is demonic and everything like, and we could try to play tiddlywinks with it if we want. But just understand, you're actually giving up ground to the enemy when you do that. It's time for everybody to say, look, my children, myself, my spiritual eternity, and my family and my community's spiritual growth and eternity is much too important than for us to try to equivocate with people who are clearly demonic. What the school board did down there in Southern Cal is they stood their ground. They said, no, to get out of here with that. We don't want our kids to anymore be brainwashed and propagandized with your sex curriculum and with your trans curriculum. That is not appropriate for their age. And it is not. In all of human history, if you document how to raise children, it's never occurred to us to go this far until these past couple few years. So this shows you that the satanic side, the demonic side, they've taken off their masks. They are in our face, full-throated, and they're daring us to stand up and actually stand our ground with our fundamental biblical principles and to actually do our, you know, take up our whole armor every day and fight the fight in culture and with God's promises, with all of the armor, to actually take ground back from the enemy. This is, and that's what's so rich and so wonderful also about Pinnacle Forms, is that we can have these conversations and challenge brothers, challenging one another in the Lord to say, look, come on, stop it, guys. You know, we have, this is it. Here's one thing that I've said, and I've said it recently a couple of times. God told me over a year ago, he says, look, son, there has never in human history been a war that has been fought and won without men. Men must now, because you're in a cultural war, you're in a spiritual war, men are being called to the front line. We are. And we have got to take up that our responsibility so we can help save our families and our communities and that. But God is calling forth now. He's demanding that men come to the front and take up their arms. And so this is it. I mean, you know, we're in a cultural war. We're in a spiritual war. Where are the men? We see Moms for Liberty. We see Moms for this and this and that. Where are the men? And so what Pinnacle is doing is vital. It's important. It's building us up. It's launching us forth. And it's allowing us to have rich relationships like what Mark and I have fostered.
Well, guys, it's a fabulous story. I expect God's going to do some great things between the two of you. Thank you for being, both of you, for being the tip of the spear, for being out there, for not being afraid to speak up. And we really appreciate both of you and the work that you're doing and the work that's going on. You know, I have people ask me, well, what is Pinnacle Forum doing? Well, what we're doing is the work that all these hundreds of partners are doing. You tell all the stories of all the work that all the partners are doing. That's what God's doing through Pinnacle Forum.
You're connecting the body of Christ, Chuck. You really are. You're doing incredible work. Mm-hmm.
In a way that is not being done very much, many places. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Chuck. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
Take care. God bless.
Keep up the great work. Thank you, Kevin. It's vital. God bless you guys.